I very much appreciate that which has gone before. I don't intend to take up much time this morning. We do have a rather busy conference ahead of us. But as Brother Tommy was talking about the resurrection, I couldn't help but think about a thought that many today have in reference to the resurrection and reference to the second coming. And for those of you who have heard me preach lately or who have followed me around different places, I have been preaching a lot about the second coming. But there's one thing about the second coming that a lot of people are mistaken about, and it has to do with the power of God. You know, the Bible talks about the power of God in many different ways. Brother Tommy mentioned several verses in which God's power is elaborated on. In Psalm 33 and 9, it says that He speaks, and it is done. He commands, and it stands fast forever. That's one aspect of God's power. All He has to do is speak, and boom, there it is. But you know, His speaking is not the only aspect of His power. He also quoted Hebrews 1 and 3 when it talks about Jesus Christ. It says that He, by Jesus Christ, made the world and upholding all things by the word of His power. I've heard some preachers try to say that that's the same thing as the power of His word, but it's not. It's saying the word of His power. In other words, the very spoken aspect of His power. But sometimes the Bible talks about His powerful arm. Sometimes the Bible talks about His feet, about heaven His throne and earth as His footstool. In other words, just His very feet are upon this earth. So there's many different aspects of God's power in the things that He does, but there's also different aspects of God's power in the things that He can do, but we've never seen. You know, the Bible says in Revelation 19 and 6, when John beholds that heavenly host singing in glory, they're singing, "Alleluia, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." The word omnipotent means that He has all power. The word omni means all, potent means power. So if Christ has all power, do you think He used all of His power when He made this universe? When it took Him 6 days to make it, was He just wore out after every day? When He said, "Let there be light," on the first day, was He just so wore out, He says, "Well, I'll get to the next part the next day"? No, friends. And when He rested on the seventh day, it wasn't because He was tired. It was to give us an example to follow, as Paul shows in Hebrews 4. So God didn't extend all of His power in the creation. I wonder if He extended all of His power in redemption. Do you think Jesus Christ was just so give out that He just finally breathed out His last breath and gave up the ghost when He was there on Calvary's cross? I don't think so. Because when He gave up His last breath, right before He did that, He cries out in a loud voice. Dying men do not cry out in loud voices. So He has not extended all of His power in creation. He's not extended all of His power in redemption. I will dare say He has never extended all of His power. Even in the resurrection, when He calls us all home and when He burns this universe up in a fiery, fervent heat, that still won't be the fullness of His power. So what other aspect of God's power could there be? The very most powerful aspect of His power, in my opinion, is not what He can do or what He does do. It's what He doesn't do. When you think about the world we live in today, a lot of people don't believe you have the ability or the power to do something unless you do it. What does Peter say? In 2 Peter 3, in about verse 15, Peter writes this about our Lord. He says, "An account..." In other words, for us to account or take stock of, and account that the long-suffering of our God is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul also wrote in his epistles and spoke of many things which are hard to be understood. Peter says, "I'm telling you the same things Paul did. Some of what he told you is hard to understand. Some of what Paul said, even Paul himself said, is hard to understand." Paul said, talking about the resurrection, in 1 Corinthians 15 and about verse 38, he says, "Behold, I show you a mystery." Even Paul said, "I don't understand this." He says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." There are things that Paul didn't understand that he wrote about. There are things that Peter didn't understand that he wrote about. But there is one thing that Peter said we should all know. He said, "An account that the long-suffering of God is salvation." Whenever you bring up the resurrection, whenever you bring up the second coming, what is it that a lot of people say? "Well, why doesn't He come back right now? Why doesn't He come back now? This world is bad. This world is horrible. Look at all the things that are going on today. Why wouldn't the Lord come back right now?" Why wouldn't the Lord do this? Why wouldn't the Lord do that? Friends, account that the long-suffering of our God is salvation. When you consider that when the Lord comes back, there will be nothing left of purpose here on this earth. There's only one thing of purpose left here on this earth. And we're told that that is going on right now. Excuse me, I should say there's two things of purpose going on this earth. Consider the two texts in John 4 and in John 5. There's two things of purpose that go on in this world that Christ talks about. We'll start in John 5. In John 5 and 25, Christ says this. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour cometh, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." Friends, He says that the hour cometh, and now is. That means that it's going on right now, and will keep on going on, world without end, or to the world, as long as the world stands, perpetually, that the hour cometh, and now is, when God's children will be regenerated, born of His Spirit, quickened by power from above, and they that hear shall live. Now back up into John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, Christ is talking to the Samaritan woman, and He talks to her about worship, and He says this. The woman is basically asked Him a question. She says, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, but the Jews say that Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship." She hasn't exactly asked a question, but she's inferred one. Well, our folks say here, your folks say there, so what do you say? I've mentioned this before, but I'll mention it again. Always be careful when somebody says, is it A or B? You know, it could be C, and they just hadn't told you what C is. It could be D, it could be E. Just because they present you two choices, don't assume one of them has to be right. They can both be wrong. She says, is it the mountain or is it Jerusalem? The answer is neither. Both of them are wrong because the focus is in the wrong place. And here's what Christ says. He says, "Woman, verily I say unto you, the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. But they that worship the Father must worship Him in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him." There He says that right now at this hour and forevermore, as long as the world shall stand from this hour forward, true worshipers are going to worship God and worship the Father in spirit and in truth. If you want to know what the very important things going on in this world right now are, the truly important things going on from the very moment that Christ spoke it until this very hour is that people are still being born again by the Holy Ghost, and there are still people worshiping the Father in spirit and in truth. And I assure you, dear friends, He is still pleased when His people worship Him in spirit and in truth, and He's always pleased with what His Holy Spirit does when He calls one from nature's darkness into His marvelous light. So why is it that the Lord would not appear right now? Why is it that the Lord would not come back at this moment? A simple answer is this, friends. Not all of His children have been born again yet. Had He come right now, and there are how many thousands that have not yet been born again, their salvation, their home in heaven, would not be secured by the quickening power of His Holy Ghost. Friends, the very reason that this world still stands, we have evidence to show, just by this world's existence, that not all of God's children have been born again yet. But I assure you, friends, the moment that last heir of grace is born again, time shall be no more. Because the only other truly important thing that goes on in this world, which is worship, will then go on perfectly in heaven, world without end. When you consider the power of God, when you consider all the things that He's done, I mean, it's powerful when you consider creation. I mean, there's nothing. He speaks, and there's something. Does that boggle your mind? It makes mine tie up in knots. I sometimes read articles about how creation happened. I don't know. All I can say is what the Bible says. God spake, and it was done. God spake, and it came to pass. That's about all I know. When I think about redemption, when I think about atonement, when I think about all these things that Christ did, friends, it blows my mind that the very Son of God would leave the glory of heaven and come to this place for people like me. That's power I have just the smallest understanding of. But friends, when I consider just what I see in the world today, I tell you what I see, it breaks your heart sometimes. When you read about mothers who cast off their young, When you read about people who have trampled believers underfoot, put them to death, when you read about the greed and the corruption and the misery that's in this world today, and friends, I don't know all of it. I know just the smallest fraction of what's going on in the world today. God sees everything that's going on in the world today. He sees every injustice. He sees every problem. He sees every sin. He sees every transgression. He sees every shortcoming. The very fact that His arm has not been extended to just consume this world in a burning heat in a moment is power that I don't understand. Friends, whenever somebody says something you don't like, how hard is it to hold it in? And all I've done is said something to you. Whenever somebody smites you on the cheek, it's been a while since this happened to me, but I can tell you, it's hard to turn the other cheek. Sometimes that right cross comes before I can even think about it. Friends, it's hard. It takes power. When you know there's a wrong that needs to be righted, when there's justice that needs to be served, it's hard sometimes. It takes a lot of restraint to not do what you're capable of doing. How much more the long-suffering of God? Friends, would He strike, there would be none to stand in His path. Would He speak, it would be over in a moment. And friends, because of the love that He has for His children, He won't do what He can do until it's time for Him to do it. Friends, that's power. That's power, even in the face of people down here spitting in His face saying, "Where is your God? Where is this loving God that you preach? Where is this loving God that you go to church regularly to serve? If He existed, this all wouldn't be going on today." Friends, the reason all this is going on today is because of us. It's because of man and his sins. The reason it's not any worse than it is because God is still there. And friends, the only reason it's going to be better some sweet day is because He's coming to take us out of this place and burn it up when He says it's time, not when anybody else says it's time. Friends, I look forward to the resurrection. I look forward to His coming. If I could pray for it to be today, I would. But friends, rest assured, He'll come when He says it's time. He'll speak when it's time to speak. And when He does, all of our troubles will be over. All of our heartaches will cease. All of our pains, all of our afflictions, and all of our shortcomings will be gone. We'll be with Him, war without end, praising Him forever and evermore. Until that day, let's back up two verses. Peter says in 2 Peter 3 and 15, he says, "Account the long-suffering of God as salvation." If you back up two verses, after he's talked about the second coming, after he's talked about Christ burning the world up with a melting fervent heat, he says, "Seeing you look for these things." Friends, do you look for Him? Do you look for Him to part the sky? Do you look for Him to end your troubles and your toils? Do you look for Him to carry you home? Peter says, "Seeing we look for these things, what manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" Friends, if we long to see Him, may our lives here show forth that we're looking for Him, longing to see His face in righteousness and be satisfied. These things have been a blessing. You give Him all the praise, honor, and glory. May the Lord bless you is my prayer.